Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, it is time for Fast Track, and it is our final Fast Track of the week, so we saved all the best stuff for today. And let's see, one side of the coin, John, is that Trae Young wins the horse game on Sunday, the big NBA horse game. Other side of the coin, it's the field. Do you want Trae Young or the field?
I'll take the field because I bet on Zach LaVine. So give me tails. Give me the field.
It's tails, the field.
There you go, Ireland. The field is the winner there. What do you got?
All right. Fast Track. President Trump on Wednesday was asked during his daily coronavirus press briefing whether he would consider a pardon for Joe Exotic, whose story is detailed in the Netflix series Tiger King. New York Post reporter Stephen Nelson noted in his question to Trump that the show is, quote, one of the biggest rating hits of the coronavirus aside from these briefings. Nelson referenced that Don Jr. had said Exotic deserved a pardon after receiving an aggressive prison sentence when he was convicted in a murder-for-hire plot. President Trump said, quote, you think he didn't do it? Are you recommending a pardon? Then he went back and forth with Nelson, who made it clear he was not advocating a position either way. I'll take a look, Trump concluded. Here's my question. Is there anything wrong with a reporter asking a Tiger King question during a coronavirus press conference?
Well, you know, those coronavirus press conferences are going, and I'm not kidding, hours.
Right.
Like, they're a few hours. And other stuff is being discussed, whether it be political issues, and I mean, all kinds of weird stuff is coming up in those. So if you're sitting there for 3 hours a day asking questions, it seems like it's okay to ask one about what has become a huge public fascination. I mean, if he was doing 20 minutes a day packed with important information, I would say, yeah, inappropriate. But if you're doing, you know, the Winds of War every day, if you're doing Lawrence of Arabia of press conferences, then, yeah, I understand why you'd ask the question.
Well, not only that, I agree with you, by the way, and not only that, in that particular setting, you get one chance to ask Donald Trump questions. And he's making himself available. You're not getting another crack at it.
Right.
If the story, like, I always laugh when, like, during the NBA finals, you know, I've covered seven NBA finals, and like the old stodgy NBA guys would get all mad when, like, the Jimmy Kimmel guy, Guillermo, would get in there.
Yep.
And Howard Stern's guy, Stuttering John, would get in there. And I, you know, that's the way it's set up. They have different content than you do. And so if you're only going to get one opportunity to ask questions, you have to take it. And I know it's not going to make the old guard reporters very happy that somebody asked a question about Tiger King. But if that's what you were sent there to do, if you're doing a story on Tiger King, that's your only shot. So if the White House press corps would make President Trump available afterwards to handle non-coronavirus questions, then that's one thing. But they don't. They make him available for that two-hour block, and that's when you get him. And if you're working on, if Stuttering John has a question, if he's been credentialed, he gets to ask it. If Guillermo from the Jimmy Kimmel Show has a question, he gets to ask it. Different shows need different content. And I've never been one of those people at a press conference who gets all bent out of shape. You know, I remember Ramona used to get all bent when people would bring their kids to the presser.
Yeah, right.
And said, I didn't. You know, if he wants to bring his kid to the presser, I can do a story on it.
Yeah,
you know,
me too. I agree.
Yeah, so I'm with you on this. I didn't have a problem with it.
Now, the bigger question is, should the president pardon Joe Exotic? What do you think, John?
Joe Exotic seemed pretty guilty to me. I don't think I would pardon him. How about you?
I would not. James Gerritsen was on my podcast, told the story in depth. There is no question in my mind.
I think he absolutely tried to kill her, don't you?
Yeah, he absolutely did pay $3,000 for somebody to kill Carol Baskin. There's no question. It's indisputable. People hate James Gerritsen because he's the one that blew the whistle on it. But He's absolutely right. He was the whistleblower. That's the reason why Joe Exotic went to prison for 21 years. And I think it would be ridiculous to pardon him, given the fact that he hired a hitman.
Yeah, if you're just dealing strictly on the facts, is he innocent or guilty? He looks guilty as hell.
Yeah, he's guilty. Absolutely.
By the way, I think Carol Baskin's probably guilty, but they don't have a case against her.
Yes, she is. They've reopened an investigation on her.
Yeah, but that she fed her husband to the Gators, man, or to the Tigers.
The Tigers.
Yeah, there ain't going to be no evidence there. They can investigate all they want.
Funch.
Fast track.
All right, John, today is National Siblings Day.
Okay.
I thought it would be interesting for each of us to characterize our siblings, who they are, what they do, what our relationship is like with them. And that would be a way to recognize National Sibling Day. You have a brother.
I do. My brother Jim, he is 4 years younger than me. I don't talk to him very much anymore. I grew up with him. I think you talk to both of your brothers right now, right? You go back and forth with one of them, and I know you have stretches, but Jim and I are fine. It's the extended families that don't necessarily talk, but we're okay. We can pick up the phone and talk to each other on a regular basis, but, let me think. When is last? His birthday is in December.
Mm-hmm.
And mine's in July. We talk to each other on our birthdays, but that's about it. We don't talk very much.
What's he do for a living?
Last time I talked to him, he was running a warehouse.
Okay.
In Tustin, where he lives. But now you have one brother that lives here and one brother that lives in Florida, right?
Yep. I've got one brother, Travis Mishonsky, who lives here in Los Angeles. He lives on the west side. He works for an advertising agency called Horizon Media, which is a really good advertising agency. He's a good kid.
Somebody walked up to me at a Laker game and said, my brother works with Mason's brother. Takes ads out through Horizon, I think.
Yeah, Travis sells, organizes sort of billboard space is what he does in that company. And then my brother Brian lives in Florida. He is a true, honest-to-God redneck. All he does is fish. He catches sharks. He catches all kinds of stuff. He lives in Fort Lauderdale, does a lot of fishing, plays a lot of poker. He is a killer poker player, just killer. Cleaned me out at a table in Vegas one time. He runs a collection agency. So as we like to say...
He's probably got some stories.
As we like to say, he always takes somebody's house away on Christmas Eve. He does that once a year.
Oh, man, that's cold. So you and I have, neither one of us has sisters. Lindsay, how many siblings are in your family?
I have three. I have two sisters and a brother.
And where are you in the lineage? Where do you fall on that chain?
So there's my older sister, Kimberly. She lives in Columbus with her husband and my nephew, Kason. And then I have younger sister, Christy. She lives back in Ohio, back where we grew up. And then my brother, my brother is the youngest of all of us.
And is he in Ohio also?
No, he lives in Charlotte. He's the one who's supposed to be getting married this summer.
He's in the Lindsay Theory thing. So, yep. Mace, what's interesting about you is you have no immediate family in Ohio anymore, right? Since your mom moved out here?
No, everybody's left Ohio. Everybody says, you know, Cleveland. I haven't been to Ohio in years. My mom lives out in Palm Springs. My brother lives here, and then I have another brother in Florida. There's no connection to Ohio anymore.
Funch, how about you? I'm sorry, Mason, did you want to finish?
I was going to say, I've been here 28 years. My mom's been here like 6 years, and my brother's probably been here 20 years.
Funch, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have one older brother, one older sister. I'm considered a baby in a family.
Okay, you're the youngest, and where did you guys all grow up?
We grew up in Alexandria, Virginia, right near D.C., like maybe
really?
10 minutes or 20 minutes outside D.C.
Back there?
My sister is still out back there. She's in Woodbridge, which is like 20 minutes outside D.C.
What brought you to California?
My mom. I moved with my mom when I was a kid, maybe like 12 years old with my mom. Me and my mom moved here so she'd be closer to her family because she has her brother out here, my uncle, and my aunt, her sister. So she just wanted to be closer.
Okay. So that
cool.
takes... everybody has siblings.
Yeah. Oh,
interesting.
Happy Siblings Day.
All right. Punch.
Fast track.
All right, Mace. Busch Beer is offering a 3-month supply of its beer to 500 people who adopt or foster a dog from Midwest Animal Rescue in Minnesota.
Okay. that.
Animal shelters across the U.S. are closing their doors to the public and canceling adoption events to slow the spread of the coronavirus. But nothing is stopping new abandoned animals from coming in. So shelters are trying to place as many as they can in homes as quickly as possible. To help this effort, Busch Beer has teamed up with the Midwest Animal Rescue Shelter to launch the Foster a Dog, Get a Busch offer.
Okay.
So basically, you get beer for a year. But, I mean, you can get a coupon. You can use it up to, I think you can use it up to get up to 3 cases or 4 cases of beer. They're going to give them to 500 different people. They're calling it beer for a year. Now, I think this is a great deal for the people, the ones who get the free beer. But we're all dog lovers here. Should we be worried that all the dogs are being taken by a bunch of drunks?
It's an interesting question.
I'm not sure I like being motivated like, hey, I'll give you 4 cases, 5 cases of beer if you go adopt a dog. Because what if they're not a good dog owner?
It's a long quarantine, John. It's a long quarantine. You know,
Lindsay, what do you think of the foster a dog, get Busch offer?
Well, I don't mean to like kill the bit, but I think they're just doing it for publicity. I'm sure that approximately 0 people went out and adopted or fostered dogs just because they got free beer for a few weeks.
Oh, I think you're underestimating a 4 or 5
the
free
power
cases
of beer.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Busch beer.
That's true, but it is free. Mason used to say that if you gave away free bags of sand, people would fill every phone line.
They really would. They really would.
You have to wonder if, like, the animal shelter, are they doing the right thing here, you know?
That's what I'm asking. That's my question.
Yeah, they're the ones that I think should be in question.
Well, here, there are lots of dogs that need fostered right now. They're stuck for a long period of time in shelters.
And, Mace, isn't the cold reality if some of these animals don't get adopted, some of them, they
may not make it.
Yeah, they don't survive.
May not make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if Busch is helping to do that, helping to encourage people to adopt a dog, to save a dog during a really difficult time, then I say good for Busch.
I'm not sure. I mean, well, we may have to revisit this in about a month and see how it all worked out. But I hope the dogs are
someone who did it.
Yeah, my brother Travis is fostering a dog.
Yeah, but you sent us a picture of that dog. Isn't he sending it back?
He's very cute. They're putting it up for adoption again. My brother, by the way, his dog is named the name that came with it was Blackie. And my brother thinks racist.
I have no issue with that name.
Is that a racist name, Blackie?
It sounds like a little kid made it up.
Yeah, but
it does.
Right, and is the dog partially like black in color?
It's dark. Yeah, it's a dark black colored dog.
Probably not the first name I would choose, but I won't go as far as to call anybody a racist. It's a dog.
It came with a tag that says Blackie, but Travis is calling it Sebastian. That's the dog's name.
Right, probably a smart move.
Yeah, it is. All right, more Fast Track coming up for you next. Funch has a question, and Lindsay has a question. 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track. And Funch, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, guys. So SNL is coming back this week with new live shows, and obviously we don't know how they're going to do it, but the most obvious thing is that they will have to do something or some sketch involving the newest star of this pandemic, Dr. Anthony Fauci. The doc was even on CNN yesterday and was asked about it.
Saturday Night Live is back this weekend. After a month of being off, what do you think the chances are that somebody will portray you?
I have no idea. I hope not.
Well, if they did, which actor would you want to play you? Here are some suggestions that I've heard. Ben Stiller, Brad Pitt. Which one?
Oh, Brad Pitt, of course.
So, guys, what actor or SNL alum do you think will get to play the role of Dr. Fauci on SNL?
That's a great question. Ben Stiller is a good guess. But he's a little young. I think we have to skew. Well, you know, now that Bernie Sanders is out, we need a new role for Larry David. Would you put Larry David in a wig and have him do Fauci?
I don't know. I'm thinking somebody like Fred Armisen would be good.
All right. So here's a guy,
Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Here's a guy that helps them a lot and lives in New York. What do you think of De Niro? They're about the same age.
They are about
good.
The same
Plus,
age.
Plus, isn't he short, too?
Yeah, well, all actors are short. Stiller's short,
too. There's two names popping on Twitter, though. Martin Short and Steve Martin.
Oh!
Martin Short's Martin perfect.
Short. Martin Short would be fantastic.
And he's an SNL alum.
And I think he lives in New York.
Yeah, that's it, Funch. That's the one.
Yeah, that's a great call.
Martin Short would be absolutely perfect.
They're almost the same size, too. They're kind of small.
Yeah, but what's going to be weird is, so are all these skits going to be just people at home on Skype? Are they all going to come in and social distance on the set of SNL?
They're supposedly doing everything remotely, and I don't know if they've changed it, but I read yesterday that it's just a one-off for now. They're just kind of testing it out and seeing how things go.
I saw the promo for today, and it's got basically everybody in a box, and there's like 20 boxes of all the different actors at their houses, like making faces at the camera. And there's Adi Bryant, and there's Kate McKinnon, and there's Kenan Thompson, and there's Mikey Day, and they're all, you know, in their different boxes. So it's probably going to be pretty creative.
It's going to need to be. Yeah, I mean, I think anybody that can make something cool to entertain, whether it's a game of horse or SNL with 100 different boxes on the screen, I think, we watch Bill Maher on Friday nights. He's doing his, John Oliver is doing his best, Fallon and Kimmel and all those guys are doing shows. We need those guys right now. We need those guys to entertain. And they're all doing a great job in whatever way they're doing it.
And I think they really should get Brad Pitt to play Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, if they did, it would be very funny now that you have that clip. They're going to do Weekend Update, so I assume Colin Jost is going to do it from his house and Michael Che is going to do it from his house. They're just going to ping-pong it? I don't know.
Now that I think you can pull off pretty easy, side-to-side boxes, right?
Well, that or, you know, like if you watch SportsCenter, sometimes they have two anchors on SportsCenter and they're just sitting on opposite sides. Or like if you watch The Get Up, Greenberg's in studio every day.
Yeah, he is. And everybody else is in a box.
Yeah, so you could put Colin in a studio by himself and bring Che in remotely.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know tough life Colin Jost has. You know who he's engaged to?
Yeah, of course.
He's quarantined with Scarlett Johansson.
Yep.
Worst things in life to be quarantined with Scarlett Johansson for 6 weeks.
Not bad. Not a bad gig. All right, Funch.
Fast track.
Lindsay, what do you got?
All right, guys. So when Tom Brady first arrived to Tampa Bay, his agents filed a trademark for TB times TB. And now they're hoping to trademark Tampa Bay and Tampa Brady to use in merchandise, including clothes, headwear, and footwear. Think those are super cheesy, but whatever. Interestingly, Brady's not the first person to apply for a trademark on those phrases. According to records, a resident of St. Petersburg filed a trademark application for Tampa Bay on March 31st. Mm. And then applications for Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay Beach Club, Tampa Bay, Florida, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers were filed by a man in Phoenix on March 18th. So we all remember Brady already unsuccessfully tried to trademark the phrase Tom Terrific last year when it was deemed it was associated with Hall of Fame pitcher Tom Seaver, which was not even a debate. Wanted to ask you guys, is Tom Brady going totally overboard with all of his trademarks?
Well, how do they decide who gets, like, if I filed for Tampa Bay first and he files for it 2 to 3 weeks later, don't I have pole position on that?
Well, you've got to file in certain categories. So what were the categories for Tampa Bay?
Clothing, headwear, and footwear.
Okay.
Of those three, Mace, TB times TB, Tampa Bay, or Tampa Brady, which one would, like I said, okay, you can have one of them. Which one of the three would you take?
TB times TB. TB times TB is the coolest. There's something dorky about Tampa Bay. Or Tampa Brady. I don't like.
I'm not so sure any of these are going to catch on.
TB times TB actually looks really good. Tampa Bay tweeted that out. I think that actually looks really good.
It looks cool, but it's not something you're going to say. You know, like it's not a good catchphrase.
Is Tampa Bay going to catch on?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Lindsay. And Tampa Brady, Funch, you got a lot of like sportswear jerseys. You're into that world. Do any of those work?
Yeah, they look good. I mean, people are going to buy them, obviously, because of Tom Brady. But it looks better than it did last year. I'll say that.
Boy, I saw my first Brady jersey last night. By the way, did you guys see this thing last night? I'm kind of going on a tangent here. But did you guys see what Katie Nolan did last night?
No.
Okay, so Katie Nolan does a late night show for ESPN, and of course she's doing it remotely. So she had Amin El Hassan and Pablo Torre and Mike Ryan from the Le Batard show and Mina Kimes all in boxes. So there were like five of them. And she said, hey, let's try something. I think she just did it on a whim. She said, everybody, they were on a Zoom. They're in a Zoom chat room. There were six of them. She said, everybody right now, text the most famous people you have in your phone, and whoever gets the most famous people to join this Zoom chat wins. And it went crazy. They got like 30 people in there, and you would not believe who showed up. And the reason I thought of it when Lindsay asked her question is that somebody zoomed in Andrew Siciliano.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a Brady jersey, and then somebody else zoomed in Scott Hansen.
Yeah,
so Siciliano and Hansen were on the screen. And Siciliano goes, hey, Hansen and I can't be on the same screen at the same time. It's a copyright issue.
Oh, that's funny.
But, Mace, by the end of this, people, Dwayne Wade popped in. Clayton Kershaw popped in.
Wow.
And Katie was, like, blown away. She goes, hey, Clayton, who invited you? And he goes, Brendan McCarthy. And like, Mina goes, I invited Brendan McCarthy, so I get credit for that. And they were all fighting. Dwayne Wade, somebody goes, hey, Wade, I'm going to invite your wife. He goes, you got me. You can't ask for my wife. And they tried to get Gabrielle Union to do it.
Oh,
they got
wow.
David Chang, the famous celebrity chef, popped in. All these famous people popped in. You can watch it. It's all over the internet now. The whole chat room lasted 10 minutes, and you will not believe who pops into this thing. Like right.
So who was the most famous person?
Probably it might have been Kershaw, but or Dwayne Wade. I'm trying to think if there was like somebody else from like the world of Hollywood that may have done it, but just to watch it to see who pops in is super funny because they don't even know, like, of the five people, they don't know who's like they don't even know who's popping in because they all sent out individual, like they didn't know who else was popping in. So it was a really funny idea. It's on. I just pulled it up on YouTube. It's got probably, in the course of the 10 minutes, probably 50 different people pop in. Mike Golick was one of the original people that popped in, too. So he was texting people. And okay, so here's some of the other ones. Joey Chestnut, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Travis Kelce, Danny Amendola, Chris Long, Dwayne Wade. I guess Lin-Manuel Miranda might have been the most famous.
I think Lin-Manuel Miranda probably is.
Him or Wade?
Him or Wade, exactly. It's either Dwayne Wade or Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Would probably pop in. But anyway, the reason I thought of it when Lindsay asked her question was Siciliano had a Brady Tampa Bay jersey. You know that thing is already the number one selling jersey in the NFL?
Oh, I'm not surprised at all.
Number one.
Yeah.
They can't keep him in stores. He's 42 years old, and he's the number one best-selling jersey in the entire NFL. So maybe, Lindsay, those dumb slogans that we think are cheesy might work. Everybody's buying his jersey. I mean, who knows? Maybe Tampa Bay will take off.
All right, let's see. More Fast Track is coming up next for you. I've got a game coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track, and who's it to, John?
I think it's me.
All right, Ireland, it's you.
All right, Mace, former Rams and Saints kicker Tom Dempsey, who held the record for the NFL's longest field goal for 28 years, died over the weekend in New Orleans due to complications of the coronavirus. Dempsey's record field goal was 63 yards. It lasted from 1970 to 1998 when it was tied by Jason Elam of the Broncos. That lasted until Matt Prater broke the record with a 64-yarder in 2013.
Okay.
But here's the weird thing. There have now been 22 kicks of 60 yards or more in the NFL. Successful kicks.
Yeah.
These new kickers do it a lot. At Texas, a kicker made an 80-yarder last year at practice.
Wow.
How did Dempsey's record last 28 years, and how has Elam's new record lasted eight more than that? If all these guys can kick 65-yard field goals, how is this record still standing?
So tell me if I'm remembering this right or I'm crazy. Tom Dempsey kicked straight on.
Right. Had a club
actually
foot.
Had
no
club
toes.
Foot, right?
Yeah.
Had no toes. And had that foot. And that was one of the reasons for his success. Now, I mean, kicking has obviously changed to soccer-style kicking. And Matt Prater does have an advantage because he did kick that field goal at Mile High Stadium, where the atmosphere is thinner. So I think that's one of the reasons why Prater still holds the record.
Yeah, 64 yards. But my thought is, if there've been 22 kicks of 60 or more, and if you make it 60, you figure you can go 64. You know, they're not just all barely clearing the goalpost.
Right, exactly.
But how his record lasted 28 years, and now Elam's new record has lasted eight more after that. I mean, this is a huge anomaly. It's like that Bob Beamon long jump record that
it is.
You know,
it just came out of nowhere.
Forever.
You're right. Although part of it is coaches don't like to attempt long field goals because they automatically give up field position.
You've probably seen Zuerlein at the end of the half. You know, he's one of these guys that has a 60-yard field goal. You know, he's probably kicked at 65 yards a lot. It just
right.
hasn't. Like, think of all the football games that have been played since 1970. All right? At the end of a half, at the end of a game, you would figure, where you don't really have to worry about field position, you would figure somebody somewhere would have been able to do this, right? By the way, the college record's 67 yards, but you can kick off a tee in college.
Right. I'm trying to see what Zuerlein's longest field goal was.
I think 60.
Was it 60?
I think his career long is 60.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a guy that was in Dallas, Brett Maher, that did it three times. And it's three 60-yard field goals. But they cut him eventually because he wasn't any good from short distance.
So the Prater record is still the record.
Yeah, 64 in 2013.
Yeah.
I would think it's going down, but I would have predicted it would have gone down every year because these kickers are so good now. But for whatever reason, it's like the hardest record to break. By the way, in baseball, so is the what do you think is more unlikely? That somebody has a 56-game hitting streak or that somebody hits 400? Because if nobody
56-game hitting streak.
You know, that happened in the 40s, right? When DiMaggio did that?
Exactly one time, yeah.
And the last time somebody hit 400 was in 1941. So it's actually been long. Ted Williams hit 406 in 1941. It's actually been longer. I would think the 56-game hitting streak is more likely because you don't have to hit 400. You just have to get 56 straight hits. But the, you know, 400 means you gotta get, what's the minimum plate appearances? 502? And you've got to, you know, and still hit 400. That's almost.
But Tony Gwynn hit 390 something.
388.
So
what
he
if
was close.
They had a shortened season though?
Yeah, shortened season could do it. But don't you have to have 500 plate appearances to break the record? I think.
I think so. Shortened season, you still have to have a minimum number of plate appearances. But
I think Gwynn was hitting close to 400 that year they killed the season. You know, what was it, 94, when they said the strike ended the season? I think Gwynn was flirting with it that year.
But the closest anybody has gotten to DiMaggio in our lifetimes was Pete Rose all the way back in 78, and he was still 12 games shy of the record.
44. I don't 44. Even pay attention until anybody gets over 35. I think that's what gets my attention. But you know, Santiago
Paul
Molitor once
had a 39. And Jimmy Rollins had a 38.
Yeah, Benito Santiago had like a 33 or 34, and I went, you know.
His was 34, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, when he gets close to 40, I'll start paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Funch.
Fast track.
All right, so a lot of people, and something we haven't talked about, is board games. A lot of people are playing board games right now that they haven't played in a really long time. So I've got a quiz. I'm going to list two board games. You tell me which one was invented first. Which one was invented first? So, Lindsay, you can play. Funch, you can play. Number one, which is older, Yahtzee or Sorry? Which game was invented first? John?
I think Sorry was invented first.
Sorry. Lindsay?
I'm pretty sure it was Sorry.
Sorry. Funch?
I'll say Yahtzee.
Yahtzee was the incorrect answer. Early 40s for Yahtzee. Sorry, invented in 1934. All right, checkers or chess? Which one was invented first? Lindsay?
Chess.
Chess. Funch?
Chess.
Chess. John?
I'll go checkers.
Checkers is absolutely the right answer. Much older than chess.
That's a tricky question.
Checkers was mentioned by ancient writers like Homer and Plato. All right, number three. Life, the game of life, or Sorry. I'm back to Sorry for some reason. Life or Sorry. Which one was invented first? Funch.
Sorry.
Sorry. John.
Life.
Life. Lindsay.
Sorry.
Correct answer, Life was created in 1860 by Milton Bradley. Milton Bradley himself. Number four, Connect Four or Pictionary? Connect Four or Pictionary? John?
Connect Four.
Connect Four. Lindsay?
Pictionary.
Pictionary. Funch?
Pictionary.
Pictionary is the correct answer, invented in 1985. Connect Four invented in 1988. All right, Monopoly or Candyland? Which was invented first, Monopoly or Candyland? We start with Lindsay.
Monopoly.
Monopoly. Funch.
Monopoly.
Monopoly. Ireland.
I'll go Candyland.
You should have gone Monopoly. invented in 1902. Candyland invented in 1945. All right. Uno.
Very close, by the way. I have three. Lindsay has three. Funch has two.
Uno or Risk? Uno or Risk? We start with Funch.
Risk.
Risk. Ireland.
Risk.
Risk. Lindsay.
Risk.
Risk is correct. That was my favorite game when we were growing up. I loved Risk. And the last one, it is Ireland 4, Lindsay 4, Funch 3. This one is for everything. It counts for 2.5. The Operation game, you know, the one where you pull the little thing out without buzzing?
Yep, yep.
Or Jenga. The Operation game or Jenga? Ireland and Lindsay have to go first. Ireland, what say you?
Operation.
Operation.
Well, I was going to say Operation because that's what I think it is, but I'll just play the game and say Jenga instead.
Going for Jenga instead. And Funch?
Operation.
Operation is the correct answer. Lindsay, you finished last. Ireland.
Hey, a rare victory.
Operation invented in 1964 and Jenga invented in 1972. So there you have it. Ireland wins the game. The board game game.
The board game. Yeah, I got a different game when we come back.
All right, cool. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track and Ireland. It's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, guys, it's time for the alumni game.
Oh.
Now, Funches has been dominant in this game lately. We had to change the rules because everybody can Google now, so it's really the first person who can respond the fastest. Your name is your buzzer. No more 2 points if you get it on the first guess. You just get one, and the first person who gets four wins it.
Oh, this is the new version of
the new version of the alumni game. So I'm going to read a name, and as soon as you think you know the school that this person went to, you chime in. All right, Lindsay can play, Funch can play, and Mason's in. Here we go. First school, Ahmad Rashad, Dan Fouts.
Mason.
Mace. Need an answer.
Washington.
No. So Lindsay. You're out. Lindsay.
Syracuse.
No. Funch, you want another name?
Yes, please.
Phil Knight.
Funch, Oregon.
Oregon is correct.
I knew it was the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, you were close. You were close. Okay, Funch is on the board. Funch has been dominant. Okay, next school. Charles Lindbergh. J.J. Watt. Russell Wilson.
Mason.
Mace.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin is correct, and Mason's on the board. All right. Next school. George Wendt, Norm from Cheers. Regis Philbin.
Mason.
Mace.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is correct. And Mason takes a 2-1 lead. Lindsay not on the board yet. All right. John Lithgow. Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Mason.
Mace.
Harvard.
Harvard is correct,
what?
And Mason is one away.
He pulled that one out.
From and I winning, knew he went there, too.
From winning this thing. Okay. So here is, you guys got to play defense against Mason, or it's over. Raquel Welch. Kirk Morrison.
Lindsay. UCLA.
No.
Funch. San Diego State.
San Diego
Damn
State
it,
is correct.
That.
And Funch has 2. Mason has 3. Lindsay not on the board yet. Okay. Reese Witherspoon. Chelsea Clinton.
Mason.
Mace for the win.
Stanford
is in. And Funch, you've been dethroned by Mason. Stanford is
Woo-hoo.
The one.
Hey, Mace.
Those were all hard ones.
Well, Mason got 4 out of the first 7.
It's going to be a good weekend. Off to a great start.
All right, Mace, last one's yours if you got it.
Yeah, let's do this. So we've talked about greatest voices of their generation. We've done that. We've done greatest musical artists. It's quarantine. LA Weekly has put out a list of the top greatest musicians of all time. Now, I'm not talking greatest singers. I'm not talking about greatest performers. I'm talking about actual playing of instruments, okay? So great on the guitar, great on the sax, great on the – that's the game here. So in your mind, and we could just BS this, who are the greatest musicians of all time?
Okay, so you wouldn't necessarily think this would be the first name to pop in, but Mace – do you remember when we had Jimmy Jam on, and he told
yes.
the story? Jimmy Jam went to middle school and high school with Prince
yep.
in Minneapolis. And he told a story that there was a talent show. And so they all said, who wants to play guitar? And they all raised their hands, and they all wanted to play guitar. But they knew Prince was the best guitarist, and so they they said, well, so Prince is better than all you guys on the guitar, so you guys are all, like, who wants to play keyboard? And Jimmy's like, well, I could do it. I could play keyboard. Or who wants to play drums? And Prince finally, after a while, goes, hey, guys, I can play all of those instruments, so why don't you guys figure out where you fit and just give me the one that's left over? And Jimmy Jam said what they found out was that Prince was better at all of the individual instruments than any one of them were at their specialty instrument.
Wow.
So, it very well could be he, and you know, and keep in mind, so Jimmy Jam worked with some, he was in the time, you know, with Morris Day in the time. He was a great musician in his own right, but he really made his living. He's really known as being one of the elite producers of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Did most of Janet Jackson's hits. And Jimmy Jam says, it's Prince, and it's not close. That Prince was so much better musically than everyone else to come out of that Minnesota music scene that he could have been the best fill-in-the-blank ever at any
yeah,
instrument.
Yeah. He's definitely on my list. He's definitely on my list. Who else should be on that list?
If you're talking,
any
you know,
instrument.
Like straight guitar...
Yep.
I would think Carlos Santana's got to be there
Carlos
somewhere.
Carlos Santana's absolutely on my list. Yep.
Jimi Hendrix?
Even though yep. he died young. I was listening
there.
To All Along the Watchtower today, and you know, Jimi Hendrix died when he was 28. But I think that in his, you know, age 20 to 28 was as good of a guitar player as we've probably ever seen.
Yep.
What about Eddie Van Halen?
Eddie Van Halen is a great call, absolutely. I've got Eddie Van Halen, and also on guitar, I've got Eric Clapton.
Yeah, that's a great one.
I don't think you can make this list without Miles Davis on trumpet or John Coltrane on sax.
And I would think when you're talking about piano players,
yep,
both Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles got to get extra
no
credit.
Question. No
because,
question.
Because, you know, they were – Billy Joel would, I would think, would be – I know Harry Connick Jr. is an elite piano player, but
yep.
There's a guy named Dave Grusin who did a bunch of musical scores
sure.
for movies that was a really
Jimmy,
good piano
Jimmy
player.
Page, I think, from Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Those are some of them. So that's interesting.
Yeah, and then who's the best drummer ever? Buddy Rich was probably the most famous drummer ever.
He actually had his own band back in the big band era, but the Buddy Rich
maybe Ringo would be more famous than him, but I don't know if Ringo would be the best drummer ever.
I'm a huge Henley fan, but I'm not qualified to know if he's a great drummer or not. I mentioned earlier off the air, Marcus Mumford is a spectacular drummer from Mumford & Sons. I had really cool seats at a concert that were kind of behind the stage, so I could see him really clearly on the drums. I thought he was spectacular on the drums.
What about Dave Grohl?
I was just going to say Dave Grohl for
sure. Dave Grohl, yeah, yeah.
I've told you guys about this before. I'm a big Springsteen guy, and Springsteen would be in the conversation for guitar because the guitar was just attached to his body. But
yep.
Do you guys know who Tom Morello is, who was with Rage Against the Machine?
Yes.
Okay, so one year we had the Sopranos guys on earlier in the week.
Yeah.
And so we asked those guys about Little Stevie Van Zandt, who was the lead guitar player on the Springsteen tour in the E Street Band for like 30 years. So Stevie takes the Sopranos gig, and so he couldn't go on tour with the E Street Band. And the E Street Band had become pretty famous. You know, Max Weinberg, the drummer, became Conan O'Brien's drummer. And
yep.
Clarence Clemons, the big man, the sax player, you know, had a great career
great
on his
sax
own.
Sax player, yeah.
And so Stevie Van Zandt and Nils Lofgren were the known guitar players in the E Street Band. And so Stevie couldn't go on tour, and they went to Australia. And Springsteen called Tom Morello and said, "Hey, can you come play on this tour?" And Morello steps into this tour, and if you go watch videos, if you go down the YouTube rabbit hole and you watch Springsteen when they were on tour in Australia, Morello just steps in and takes over. It's unbelievable. Like, these aren't his songs, this isn't his band. But I would think a guy like that who could play multiple positions, to use a sports phrase,
yeah, right,
would be invaluable too. That, you know, a guy like that who could step right in and you know, Tom Petty used to do that. He had his own band. He walked into the Traveling Wilburys. So guys like that who you could just take out and put into different bands. Where, like, Peter Gabriel was, like, a great solo artist, but he was also in Genesis.
Yes.
You know, like, guys like that who are plug-and-play guys who you could take out and put in. I would think they're valuable when answering this question, too.
Yeah.
That they could
no
go
questions.
In multiple, like, they could play in different formats and different genres and stuff like that.
Yep. All right. There you have it. There's your Fast Track. Coming up next, it's time. Looking out my window. Sun going down. It's Sliwa at sunset. Some crosstalk next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Oh, that music says it all.
Now, Alan, being that it's a big Friday night in Los Angeles, do you have something special for the ladies tonight on the Sliwa at Sunset program?
Yeah, Friday night is ladies' night.
You know, when we used to work with the great Lee Hacksaw Hamilton, he had a ladies' line.
Ladies' line.
That you would call. It was a phone number reserved specifically for women.
Yeah.
And they would call and ask Hacksaw, you know, anything they wanted to. Lee was a notorious ladies' man.
We should open
the best 15 minutes of radio. Oh, how great
is
that?
He was a notorious ladies' man. Yes, he was. We should open the ladies' line right now. 877-710-ESPN. Let's open the ladies' line in honor of Sliwa. If you're listening right now and you want to sound off about anything, 877-710-ESPN, the ladies' line is open.
Yeah, it's ladies' night every Friday night. It's kind of the thing in L.A. Everybody kind of knows about it at this point. So I just kind of focus completely on I focus on the ladies' calls. That's what I do, Mace.
All right.
We talk through things, like whatever it is.
It's like the Tinder of late night radio.
There you go. Yeah, Alan, if you're not doing that, Alan, you should be. The Tinder of late night radio. It would be perfect. You just take calls. You ask them what their turn-ons or turn-offs, and, let's get it going.
Yeah, no. What are you?
Let's get it going.
Doing, like a Playboy magazine interview? Turn-ons or turn-offs? Long walks on the beach?
Can you think of anything better than Sliwa doing a Playboy-style interview? Mace, I'm surprised you're mocking this.
Well, I've always said that...
Or the Chinatown music.
I've always said, if you go back and you look at... The old Playboy After Dark shows with Hugh Hefner. Have you ever watched those on YouTube? Where he's got like the Sammy Davis Jr. is on there and
James
Steinem's on there. Yeah. It's always like the funkiest people in the world. And he treats it like it's a bunch of people coming over to his apartment. And he walks around. He's sort of interviewing people.
Alan, I think that's
drinks.
The play. You zoom this show in a bathrobe and you just do Friday Night Ladies Line. It's perfect.
Funch, tell us when we have a lady on the phone. 877-710-ESPN. Tell us when we have a woman on the phone.
Okay, so, Mace, we're getting some good tweets about the question you asked about who's the best at playing various instruments.
Oh, yeah.
So Rene Carrillo just tweeted in. He goes, I'll tell you a story about Prince. Eric Clapton was getting interviewed, and the reporter asked him, how does it feel to be the best guitar player in the world? Clapton replied, why don't you ask Prince?
Wow.
So that's game.
Yeah, that's high praise. High praise.
Flea. We forgot about Flea.
Oh, yeah,
Flea. You know, for a bass player. Sheila E. is the best drummer ever, somebody said. Somebody said Paul McCartney can play every instrument. He did 3 albums playing all the instruments. Jeff Lynne of ELO played all the instruments. Keith Moon on drums. I know what band Keith Moon was into. Either one of you guys know?
Was it The Who?
The Who, very good, Mace. He was the original. He's no longer with us. I think he died young.
You might as well not even ask Slee with those questions.
Yeah, don't ask Alan. Here's a great drummer, Brad Wilk. Do you guys know Brad Wilk?
No. Where's he? What band is he from?
Rage Against the Machine.
Oh yeah.
So he's with Morello. Okay.
He's fantastic.
There's probably a bunch of guys that we've never heard of. That
hey guys,
are known
I have a lady on the line that wants to talk to Sliwa.
We've got a lady on the line for Sliwa. Yes, go ahead for Sliwa.
Well, I wasn't necessarily calling for Sliwa, but Mason wanted a lady, so I figured I'm listening. I might as well call in.
So, what's your name?
Stevie.
And where are you calling from?
From Riverside.
What do you do for a living?
I am a truck driver.
And so you're out on the roads right now.
Well, I'm a local driver, so I've just been supplying my local Target and Walmart.
Do you drive like a big truck, like a semi-truck?
Yes.
Are there a lot of women who drive semi-trucks?
Kind of, but they're usually like teamed up with their husband.
Yeah, you're kind of like a trailblazer, Stevie.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Stevie, what do you think of John's idea? You think this Friday night calls, ladies' line on just Fridays, you think this has some legs to it, or we got no shot?
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Stevie.
I don't know how many women actually listen, but I listen all day, every day. So.
Oh, Stevie, thank you very much for that. We appreciate you a lot. What are you thinking about? You got a sports take? You got a hot take?
No.
What team do you root for?
I'm a Steeler fan, and then because I live in the L.A. area, I root for the Dodgers and the Lakers, but
nice.
I'm more into football than any other sport.
All right, so Stevie, if the Steelers announce today they're bringing back Antonio Brown, they want to straighten out his career, they need wide receivers, would you welcome him back or would you tell him to get lost?
Can we dismantle his Twitter?
Yes.
Yeah, yes,
that will be. He'll agree to do no social media, and Big Ben and him have kissed and made up, and they say they will work together.
I would bring him back. I love him.
There you go.
Do you do you love Antonio?
He needs no social media. Just come to practice, go home.
Yep.
Come to practice, and that's it.
Exactly.
He not a bad
have
idea.
Any extracurriculars. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Stevie, it is great to thank you for being out there and listening all day. We appreciate you.
No, thank you for still being on. We appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks, Stevie.
See, Alan, I'm telling you, man, you're missing an opportunity here for the ladies' line.
Look what's
going on. Look
what's going on, Sliwa.
I have a robe. I am going to put the robe on in a little.
That's right.
That is an excellent idea.
You're in your apartment.
Put on the robe. Alan, do you have a pipe? Is there a way we could get you a Hugh Hefner-type pipe?
I think Mace has a pipe.
I definitely have a pipe, Alan. It's not Hugh Hefner style,
That's
though.
That's not the
that
kind
one.
Of pipe
not
I was
one.
Thinking of, but
you
it
know,
wouldn't hurt the
Friday
show.
Night. It's yep. Friday night, Mace.
It's Friday night. It's past 4:20. You know what? I read an article. Apparently, it's the highest point that ever people have smoked weed. 19% of Americans are using cannabis right now, which is an all-time high. How often do you use it, Alan?
I love that question, Mace. I love that question. No, nothing for me. Nothing for me.
Oh,
I know.
Come on.
Believe it or no, honestly, nothing for me. I actually haven't in a while, and I listen to reggae music religiously. Like I love reggae music, but I don't smoke.
I don't smoke.
At least nowadays. No.
Edibles?
Nothing. No.
Do you drink?
Yeah, I drink.
What are you drinking? Like you're there alone in your apartment. What are you drinking?
If I'm by myself, I'm not going to drink. Typically, I'll drink bourbon or I'll drink wine.
Do you drink it during the show?
Mostly after 7:30. I feel like it's more respectable after 7:30.
Yeah, after 7:30 is good. You're right.
That's kind of the
no day drinking. By the way, I forgot that you like reggae. I'll send this to you, Alan. I sent Mason today a really cool video of the song "The Weight," which was a hit song for the band in the '60s for Robbie Robertson, who's a really famous. Speaking of famous band people, and that was their biggest hit song. And that song turns 50 this year. And some guy redid it by having people in 20 different countries sing different parts, sing and play different instruments. And two of the people that sing at the end of that, Mace, I know you haven't watched the whole video yet.
No, not yet.
Two of the people that sing at the end of that are standing in front, they're Jamaican, and they're standing in front of Bob Marley's original house when they finish the song. So we're going to see more and more. Like we talked about Saturday Night Live is going to do a complete remote episode this Saturday, tomorrow. They're going to do a complete remote episode. And people, I think, are going to find ways to do music together. They're going to find ways to do comedy together. We're finding ways to do talk shows together when everybody are in different places. And I think that's going to be one of the unique challenges of the coronavirus is how do you produce, for lack of a better word, content when nobody can be together?
And then what are the lasting impacts of that? You know, I mean, I think we've talked about this a little bit, but, you know, the bar is being lowered for what we consider to be broadcast standard. So, I mean, here's a little example. When I do my podcast, normally Chris Morales comes over and engineers it. So because of physical distancing, we figured out a way for me to do it on Skype. So I spent an hour on the phone with Bill Pullman last week. And I'm not saying Chris Morales won't come back. I'm not saying he's been replaced, but it's good enough. The quality is good enough.
So this is basically the way you're telling Morales that he's been downsized. This is the announcement that he's no less services are no longer needed.
Don't
send him a text. Just send him this clip. Send him the clip.
No, I love Chris. Chris is a great guy. Chris is a great guy.
But it doesn't mean he's not out of work.
Really good at what he does.
What he does is no longer needed. at least that part of his gig.
Yeah.
Today's 20 years was supposed to be the 20th Coachella, correct?
Today Coachella was going to start.
Mm-hmm.
That is weird.
And I just throw that because I think, John, you might have mentioned it a couple shows ago, but we get so caught up in the sports side of it. Hey, when's sports coming back? And when's this? I almost forgot about the Hollywood Bowl. Just all these other different concert venues that these events, I mean, these big time events with some of the best artists in the world, they're in the same exact boat as sports. And I for a second forgot about it. I know Coachella's coming up, but like that's crazy to think too. All those, I think you mentioned Broadway plays, like things along those lines.
Oh,
when does,
yeah.
when does all that come back? You know, we
well, and the one thing about Broadway is, and I've been to more Broadway shows than anybody, you're right on top of each other in a Broadway show. Those are old theaters, many of them who haven't been redone in years. And if you get good Broadway seats, you're crammed in there like sardines. I'm not sure they can go right back to that. I think that they're going to have to come up with ways to social distance to get that thing up and running again. And
can you afford, like, for example, you've been talking about, well, every other seat or three seats in a row.
Yeah, it's a lot of revenue.
Can you afford to put on a Broadway show if you've got, you know, a third of your normal house? Probably not. It's going to take a long time. It's going to take a long time for people to feel comfortable again. You know, if you haven't had the thing and you haven't had a vaccine, it's still going to be out there somewhere. I mean, life will ultimately move on. We're controlling the cases and all that stuff. But at some point, if you haven't had it and there's no vaccine, you're going to be exposed somehow. And I don't know if that's a risk that we're just going to live with for a while. I mean, think about that question. Is that just going to be considered an acceptable risk?
Great question. I don't know. I think that we're going to have to ease into it. Like, for example, I mentioned I've got a friend, Gil Cates, who is in charge of the Geffen Theater.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, you know, he runs the whole thing. He's got a big staff. And he they're doing a thing during the coronavirus where on Wednesday they're sending out video content. If his big play was scheduled to debut in the fall, if he can't get people in there, would people watch it on a video feed? It's not, Nick Mace, you know, it's not the same as being in the theater.
No.
And hearing somebody sing live or, you know, like Alan, you mentioned the Hollywood Bowl. Would we watch a concert on our big screen TVs that happened at the Hollywood Bowl, and would we pay for that?
I mean, I love Broadway, John. If they put a Broadway show on pay-per-view, I would buy it. Put it on a Saturday night,
I would absolutely buy it. Yeah, I would buy it. It just, I don't know if most people would.
Yeah,
well,
you know, when
we owned the theaters out in Palm Springs, we broadcast shows live from London, and we sold out houses. Like Helen Mirren was doing a show in London where she played, I don't know, the Queen, I think. And it was broadcast live to our theater, and the theater was sold out. People would go to the theater to see it. I don't know why they wouldn't watch it from home.
Well, we're going to have to reinvent some stuff.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But, I mean, like, I've never seen Hamilton. Have you guys?
Yes, it's so good.
If they made Hamilton available on a video feed from Broadway, I would pay to watch it. I mean, I wouldn't pay whatever you paid, Mace, to get in, because I know the tickets were really expensive.
It was pricey.
But
have you seen it, Al?
I haven't seen it. You know, actually, you mentioned some. I can't remember which one of you mentioned it. I think a couple weeks ago, Book of Mormon. Which one of you saw Book of Mormon?
I've not seen Book of Mormon.
Oh, okay. It is, you guys, I can't stress this enough.
It's the funniest show I have ever seen.
And I mean, ever. It changed my opinion of what funny is. Just when you think there is absolutely, Mace, I've told you this before, you think there is no way they can go there.
Right.
They go there.
Wow. Yeah, and no problem. It's no problem for them.
I was sitting next to a woman in her 70s who was like dressed up in her theater. And I Lisa was on my right and this woman was on my left. And I turned to her and I went, "Are you okay?" And she goes, "It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life." And it's like 10 minutes in, they're going there. It's written by the South Park guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, so for people who don't know, the base premise, and they reveal this in the first 2 minutes, is that, you know, when you're Mormon, you have to go on a Mormon mission. And so this thing starts with these two Mormon guys dreaming about where they're going to get to go. And they're thinking, well, maybe we'll get to go to Italy or France or Germany. And they get sent deep into Africa where they're the only white people and there are no Mormons. And they have to preach Mormonism to these African tribes. And that's the premise. And it just takes off from there. And right when you think they can't, no, they'll never go. Yep, they go there. Now they can't bring. Yep, they bring that up. It
was here about a month ago in L.A.
Did anybody tell you before you went in what you were walking into?
So I saw it a couple years ago, and I had no idea what I was walking into. So, you know, and that's probably the best way to see it.
Yeah.
It's like from an expectations perspective, it's never going to a basketball game and watching LeBron James for the first time. You're like, what the heck is this, right? And
just freaking brilliant.
Just amazing. And I wasn't a big South Park guy. I know those guys are brilliant. I know, you know, what they've done. They've been so successful. But Mace, when that opportunity comes back, go see it. You will die laughing.
Yeah, Mason, that would be one that if they did that Broadway show on TV, I would implore you to buy it.
Yeah. I definitely would. Because I've missed it every single time it's been here. Missed it every single time.
And the people that have come through there are like, you know, Josh Gad used to be in it. Ben Platt used to be in it. Andrew Rannells used to be in it.
I mean, I just got a text from Sliwa.
What'd it say?
He says, coming up next, he has got a take that will blow our minds.
Can't wait.
Why'd you cue me on these, Alan?
Ladies line 877-710 ESPN.
The ladies Friday night ladies line is open.
You guys, by the way, just the nicknames for the show, it's fantastic. I'm telling you, I have callers, we'll call it Sliwa at Sunset. I have no say anymore. I just kind of roll with the punches now.
Did you go down the road on whether or not you're going to be able to call Michael Thompson MT anymore?
I'm actually bringing him on Monday to have a full conversation about it. I'm going to play him the voicemail, the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see. I think he's going to be fine with you calling him anything you want. But I think that you're alienating your audience. They don't want you to do it.
So you still will not give out the name of who calls Michael Thompson MT?
No.
Okay. Because of the bit. Because of the bit?
Okay. Yeah.
Now, Michael may tell you who it is.
Okay.
I don't know if he realizes it, but Michael may tell you who it is.
Yeah. All right. So Alan's going to blow our minds. Next, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right. It is that special time of night.
Mm-hmm.
Sliwa at Sunset. And Sliwa texted me during that last segment and said, Mace, I've got something that'll blow your mind. And I'll do it next. So I'm like, all right. So
no, your actual response was, I think you got the wrong number.
Who is this? You're not in my phone.
I'll text you. Don't text me.
It's always the most awkward thing. You're not in my phone. Who is this?
By the way, how awful are those when you do get a number and you don't know who it is? Like, it is the worst response to be like, I just got a new phone.
Why don't you just not respond?
Well, because maybe it's somebody that you know. Maybe it's a friend.
If it's a good friend, you would have them in your phone.
What if it's somebody from the station?
And they say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. Call me.
Yeah.
How do you respond, John? Do you ever respond to those?
No.
I do. I always say, you're not in my phone. To me, that's the most polite way to say it.
That's a huge insult. You're admitting they're not important enough to you to have ever saved their number. That person's
That's what Mace just texted.
But Mason doesn't care. He just says, your name is not big enough for me to file away.
But you don't respond to him at all.
Correct.
You're too snooty to respond to him. I'm at least trying.
No, if I cared what they thought, they'd be in my phone.
Wow.
Open up
the ladies' line.
You guys know there's a new feature on the new iPhone operating system where if a number calls you, I activated it, but I don't know how I activated it, but I love it. If a number calls you and that number is not in your phone,
so
it doesn't pop up as one of your contracts.
Yep.
It says maybe.
No, it just pops up and has a number. It goes straight to voicemail.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. Never rings.
Because I will say, my phone is starting to tell me, and it's cut down weirdly. It'll tell me it's spam. Mm. Does your phone tell you when you're getting spam?
Yep.
And it tells you when you're getting political. It tells me when I'm getting political. And I'm
like it's Bernie Sanders on line one?
Like it's Bernie Sanders or it's whoever's running for whatever. I don't know what you people are doing out there. I don't know. So Sunday night's a monster night, obviously, because it is the final episode of Tiger King. and they've been sitting on this one. And you can actually bet on this episode, because we will bet on anything.
Do you have odds?
Yeah, I have odds.
Oh, this changed. I was not going to watch. I'm probably still not going to watch it, but I will bet on it.
So here's a question. Who will be shown first in episode 8? Joe Exotic is the favorite at 3-2. Jeff Lowe is at 5-2. Carol Baskin is at 4-1. Rick Kirkham, who's the former current affair guy,
yeah,
he's at 6-1. Doc Antle, who's the creepiest one and one who's got a harem of women, he's at 7-1. John Finley, who's the husband who never put his shirt on and only had two teeth, he's at 7-1.
Can I question? Point of clarification. Can I bet on a tiger? That a tiger will be shown first.
Mm. No. It's what person will be shown first.
What are the odds on Joe Exotic?
3-2.
I take Carol's odds.
Yeah, I like Carol's odds, too.
Yeah, Carol's the best value there.
Tell you who's a sleeper. James Gerritsen, 10-1. The guy who turned him in, or as some people like to say, the guy who set him up. The guy in the jet ski with the Mark Davis haircut. He's possible.
How many times can you bet on? Okay.
How many times will Baskin be said on the show? Just the word Baskin.
Okay.
Over, under a 7.5.
Give me the over.
Yeah, give me the over, too. I'm all over the over.
Now, that's just a straight over-under bet, no odds?
Straight over-under, no odds. You going to put money on that?
Yeah, $2,000.
Okay. Lindsay, I'm putting $2,000 on it also, the over.
Okay.
John, I got a feeling you're going to watch Baskin. This on Sunday.
I think
it's growing
now.
On you a little
well,
bit.
Well, if I'm getting action, I might. Or Mace, are there any more bets? Prop
yeah,
bets?
Will so Joe what, Exotic.
Wait, just yours is $2,000 and the over is what?
7.5.
Okay.
So they have to say Baskin 8 times, yeah.
Okay, and the last one. Will Joe Exotic say which actor he wants to be playing him in a movie? Will he say the name of the actor?
Yes.
Yes is minus 150. So the odds are not good.
Yeah,
no is plus 110.
Yeah, can't get any money on that.
Yeah, I can't make any money on that.
I like the creativity of still getting some action in.
Yeah, got to get some action in.
Yeah, no sports. It's okay.
And the Tiger King, exactly. Mm-hmm. Tiger King has become a sport.
So on the...
what was it that you had that was going to blow my mind?
All right, we're going to do a little game. All right, okay. Again, Mason and Ireland. You guys good with this?
Yeah, sure, always.
Okay, Funch, a little music. Funch, we got some Bob Marley back there on a Friday.
Yeah, believe me, I'm living it.
Okay, if
it's Friday night,
if Funch can get some Bob Marley,
anybody wondering why I'm so stupid tonight?
Oh, that's good. That's perfect. That's all we need right there.
Okay, good.
Okay, so I'm going to give you guys. Sports icon. They don't even have to be icons. They could be anything, but just their nicknames. Okay.
Okay. Just their nicknames.
Moment I give nickname, one of you guys buzz in with your name, and you guess the athlete.
All right, okay. Got it.
Got
okay.
It. Yep.
All right. Ready? It's first to four.
Okay.
Okay. Beast mode.
John.
Jason.
John.
Marshawn Lynch.
That's bullshit. I was there first.
You weren't even close.
I was right
there. I got my whole name out before you.
I was right. I was absolutely right there.
Okay, here we go.
You're down 1-0.
The logo.
Mason.
John.
Mason.
Jerry West.
Okay, 1-1. Here we go. The Big Hurt.
John.
I don't know. Who?
That was me.
It was Mason.
Was it John?
It was Mason. I agree with Lindsay.
Game's rigged.
She's the producer.
Lindsay, if I don't know, then you're the tiebreaker on that.
I have no rooting interest here.
Game is rigged.
I don't want Steve, the kid, the guy who wanted to be the second grader to win, you know?
Yeah, true.
So, right, she has no stake in it, so she said me. It's Frank Thomas.
All right, 2-1. Here we go.
By the way, it's very intelligent of you to make the game to 4, which could potentially lead to a tie.
No, first 1-4. What do you mean?
First 1-4.
Oh, first 1-4. I thought you were giving us 4. Okay.
Turn up Bob Marley. Turn him up. All right. The glove.
John.
I think that was John.
Of course
that is such garbage.
I was way in this.
Was it John, Lindsay?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
Gary Payton.
Garbage.
2-2 right now, guys.
Trash
2-2.
How many of these are there, Sliwa?
We have to get to four.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you just have to get to four.
But at 6:24, the game ends because our shift is over.
Yeah, I know.
You got 1 minute.
The big unit.
John.
John.
Randy Johnson.
That is me. That is so me. I must be on delay.
I think John's louder.
Exactly.
He yells.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
You got to shout, Mace.
I can win it here.
Vino.
Mason.
Mace.
Kobe.
Guys, this is it. 3-3. This is game seven right here.
Okay.
This is game seven right here.
I am yelling, and I've covered up my microphone like this.
That's the way to do it, by the way. That's the way to do it. Okay. Ready? The Diesel.
Johnson.
John.
No!
Shaquille O'Neal.
It's over.
No!
It's over.
No!
First,
that
you,
was so
you bullied
me.
A little kid, then you lost to me for the
that
second day in
so
a row.
Show me!
Okay, I got Alan, I got one for you.
Okay.
Loser.
Watch yourself, Alan. Watch yourself.
Oh,
double Steve, loser.
Steve, you took an L today, man. It's all right.
Oh,
it's
that right. is
took
such
an L yesterday, and you got to live with those L's
that
for
is,
the next
I
two
live
days.
With that until Monday. It's garbage.
What is your guys' contract? 625 or 624?
No, we're done. Oh. I'm not even going to ask you what's coming up. We've exhausted the entire. Yeah. Hey, we have nothing else to say.
Monday, John Hamm's going to be on the show. We're excited about that.
You know what?
Wait,
you
hey, Lindsay, do we know what time John Hamm is coming on?
Yes, he's coming on at 4:00.
All right, good.
And don't forget, leave us a voicemail. Lindsay, what's that number?
The number is 530-ESPN710.
That's 530. Like yeah, 530-377-6710. If you're like, you know, a normal person.
And feel free to leave voicemails about MT.
Sure. All right, Funch, turn us off, and Sliwa's going to start talking now.
You guys are gone? That's it?
See ya.
That's it? All right, Sliwa.